everything right. I'm not sure I can really relate with this guy because I'm a mess up, I'm a screw up, but Daniel constantly gets it right in life. And today we're going to be looking at Daniel 6, the story of the lion's den. Who has not heard the story of the lion's den? Okay, everyone's heard it. Yeah, I knew that. So when you're preaching something that everyone has heard before, you're like, okay, God, you got to give me something good because everyone's going to be like tuning out of this one, right? Like heard this since I was 2, all right? But today I really feel like God's given me something special for this morning and given me some insight on the heart of Daniel. How many of you want a heart like Daniel, right? Like we know, like a lot of people say, I want a heart like David, but sometimes I even feel like Daniel's a better character because Daniel didn't mess up. Daniel didn't do anything wrong. And sometimes I'm like, okay, God, I need a heart like Daniel. Because David, yeah, he had his mess ups and I have my mess ups, but Daniel's like perfect, seems like. At least the Bible doesn't tell us anything that Daniel ever did wrong. This guy was just like immaculate in everything he did. But I really think that through prayer and looking through the word, I've got an understanding of why Daniel was able to traverse life the way that he does. And I want to share that with you guys this morning because Daniel, man, he's been through a lot. How many of you guys have been through a lot? All of us? We can shake our head and go, yeah, absolutely. Daniel has been through a lot. We know at this point in Scripture, he is going to be under at least 3 different kings. Some people think it's more than that, but we know for sure that Daniel has served Nebuchadnezzar, he served Belshazzar, and now he is serving King Darius. In the last chapter, chapter 5, we saw that Belshazzar was murdered by Darius, killed, and Daniel told him it was going to happen, and now Darius is on the throne. Now, I want you to imagine this real quick. Could you imagine what it's like for Daniel? This guy was a Hebrew in the nation of Israel, and then he is ripped out of his house, taken to Babylon. We see this in chapter 1, right? He is forced to be inundated in their culture, in their gods, the way they eat food, the way that they talk, the way that they Snapchat. No, I'm just kidding. The way that they do everything, right? He is inundated in this culture. And not only the culture of Babylon, but also the culture of all these different kingdoms that have come in and taken up shop in Babylon. Now, it looks like this for us. Imagine, here in America, we were the English, right? That's what we started. But imagine, yes, we got our victory. We celebrated that on July 4th, America, right? But imagine 30 years later, China came in and took over. And then another 30 years later, Russia came in and took over. Now, we may live in America, but how many of you know culture would change, right? Rules would change, law would change. There's so many things that would begin to change as all these different kingdoms begin to take over. And Daniel had to traverse all this, right? I'm sure every few years he's told a different thing he's supposed to do, how he's supposed to act, right? We know that Darius was a Mede, so he was a Mede and Persian. And so those laws were very different than the Babylonian laws and the laws of Israel. And so he had to figure out, how am I going to serve God through all these different cultures? How am I going to serve God even though everything around me is constantly changing? I can't imagine what he went through. I was born and raised in New Mexico for 21 years, and even coming to Texas, a state over, very different, okay? Like, one thing for real is white boys in Texas do not, or in New Mexico, do not wear boots, okay? There's like very few guys, white guys, that will wear boots. Texas, everybody's wearing boots. Like, if you're not wearing boots, you're kind of weird. I'm kind of weird for not wearing boots this morning, okay? Like, everyone is wearing boots. Girls wear boots with dresses. Guys wear boots just like casual dress. Doesn't matter. Another thing is green chili. If you've ever been to New Mexico, we put green chili on everything. Even McDonald's serves green chili cheeseburgers, okay? That was another cultural thing. I came here and I'm like, where's the green chili? And they're like, you mean green sauce? I'm like, no, green chili. Like green sauce, something you pour on. Green chilies are actually the chilies, right? That's a different cultural thing. Here we got barbecue. I was introduced to real brisket. Okay. How many of you love brisket? Okay. It's not really a thing in New Mexico. So if you don't like that, don't go there. Okay. Here we have cows. We have cowboys, country music, southern charm. In New Mexico, we have green chili, we have Native American art, we have Hispanic culture, we have real New Mexican food that's way better than Tex-Mex. I tell my wife that all the time. She's like, you're wrong. I'm like, no, I am right. I know, okay? It's so good, but it's just those are a few things that have changed. But there's many other things that are different. And Daniel went through this constantly, trying to figure out what the culture of the next king's going to be like, right? We know that he was in a very high position in the government, so he would have been expected to act like those different kingdoms that came in. And so here's Darius. He's going to set up shop. And the cool thing about Daniel is Daniel doesn't really change. See, the thing about Daniel is this. There may have been a physical kingdom that he had to serve that changed often, but spiritually, Daniel always knew what kingdom he served. You and I are going to have things around us physically change. In fact, we are in an age where everything physically is changing quicker than it's ever done ever. We have the electronic age where everything is about communication. Everything is about instant gratification. Everything is changing constantly, so much so that maybe some of you go through panic attacks because everything is changing. What you learned 10 years ago is basically obsolete today. Even what you learned last year, in many cases, is obsolete today. And we have a physical culture around us that is changing. Can I say, even the way people dressed when I was a teenager, it was much more covered up than what people wear today, even 10 years later. The way people think, the way people act, the mannerisms constantly are changing. And so how do we as Christians, followers of Christ, live our life in such a way that we are remembering what spiritual kingdom that we serve? Because you and I are serving one of two kingdoms. We either are serving the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of darkness. It's one or the other. Many people think, oh no, I'm just doing my own thing. I'm just getting through life. Well, that would be the kingdom of darkness. You're serving one, or you're serving the other. And Daniel could have very easily served the kingdom of darkness. He could have very easily served himself, but he always knew what kingdom he was serving. You ever feel like you're serving the wrong kingdom? I do sometimes. We all have a decision to make, and just like the physical kingdom around us is set up by whoever is in charge, the thing about the spiritual kingdom is that you and I decide which one we're allowing in our lives. Daniel in chapter 6, verse 1, it says this, Darius the Mede decided to divide the kingdom into 120 provinces, and he appointed a high officer to rule over each province. The king also chose Daniel and two others as administrators to supervise the high officers and protect the king's interests. Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers because of Daniel's great ability. The king made plans to place him over the entire empire. Daniel was the dude. He was good looking. He was wise. He did everything right. He was upstanding in everything that he did. And the king sees this and he goes, hey, I'm going to put him over the kingdom. Now, could you imagine if you are an Israelite in Babylon serving a Persian king and that king's about to say, hey, I'm going to put you over everything. Imagine. There's people who don't like that, okay? That would be like today if you went into a place like Apple and they said you as a Christian are going to be over the entire company, there's going to be some problems. Or Starbucks, or another place that's kind of liberal, okay? You can only imagine, guys, that these Babylonians are going, I don't think this is a good idea. We can't grease Daniel, right? We can't bribe him off. We can't get him to look the other way. And they try to figure out how they're going to get him out of there. See, when we are serving the kingdom of God, there's going to be people who don't like this sometimes. Verse 4 says, then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs, but they couldn't find anything to criticize or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. I wish I was like Daniel. So they concluded, our only chance of finding grounds for accusing Daniel will be in connection with the rules of his religion. Don't you wish if someone was trying to find something wrong about you, the only thing they could find out was that you were an amazing follower of Jesus? Right? Like, I wish that was me. Right? We all have our skeletons in our closet. We all have things that we wish we didn't do, things we wish you didn't think or say. But here's Daniel, and they're like, hey, we're going to have to find something with the rules of his religion to find fault in him. They're trying to get him out. And when you serve the kingdom of God, there are going to be people that may not like dealing with you. I'm not saying that we should make that a thing, but that's just the way it is at times. You ever been around someone and they're like, why are you judging me? You're like, I haven't said a word. Okay? Have you ever walked into the break room and the coworkers are talking and you walk in and all of a sudden they stop talking about what they're talking about? Stop using the language that they were using? I have that happen to me a lot, and not here. But I've had that happen to me a lot. And the reason, I think, is because people go, I see that he's serving a different kingdom than I am. Right? They may not think about it, but subconsciously they know, hey, he is different than I am. Things that he says, the way that he acts, it's different. And it all comes down to what kingdom we serve. In verse 6, it says, so the administrators and high officers went to the king, and they said, long live the king Darius. We are all in agreement, we administrators, officials, high officers, advisors, and governors, that the king should make a law. There's that many people against Daniel. Think about that. That the king should make a law that will strictly be enforced. Give orders that for the next 30 days, any person who prays anyone, divine or human, except you, your majesty, will be thrown into the den of lions. And now, your majesty, issue and sign this law so it cannot be changed. They're hoping this guy's going to go for it. An official law of the Medes and Persians that cannot be revoked. So King Darius signed the law. Now, if you're the king at this moment, you're probably thinking, okay, this is a pretty good idea, right? I've just set up shop here. I destroyed the other king, and I need these people to understand that I'm the king. So I am going to tell them, you can't serve anybody, worship anybody other than me. You know, I'm big man on campus. I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to show everyone that I am the king. But what he wasn't thinking about is what this would do, right? Because Darius is serving himself. He's serving the kingdom of darkness. Whenever we make a decision that helps us but hurts others, we are serving the kingdom of darkness. We are serving self. So we know that these advisors have gone to the king. They've said, hey, my king, you should make it so no one else can serve you. You should make this so that no one else can come against you. See, Daniel is fighting a spiritual war. He's not fighting a physical war. He's fighting a spiritual war. And when people see that you are serving the kingdom of God, there may be times where they don't like it. Where they want to look at you and judge you and tell you you're crazy. Can I tell you, in high school, if anybody said, hey, I don't want to have sex until I'm married, people would look at you and go, you're crazy. You're nuts. Why would you want to do that, you prude? Right? Hey, I want to give my money to God. Why would you do that? That's crazy. Why would you give money to the church? Don't you know that all the churches don't spend it right? Have you looked at where your money is going? Right? Oh, hey, I'm going to make sure that I'm home with my family more than I'm working. I'm going to make sure that I spend time with my kids. I'm going to make sure that I do things the way God wants me to do them. Why would you do that? Don't you know that it's about making as much money as you can, being as powerful as you can be? Yeah, but I'm not into all that. Why? Because what happens is when you begin to say those things, people around you start realizing how meaningless their life really is. All the things that they've worked for in their life, all the things that they've thought had value in their life, all of a sudden is beginning to seem kind of meaningless. And people don't like it when the way of their life has changed. This even comes down to churches and the traditions that we've done in our churches. I don't like the new music. I don't like the way that you painted the stage. I don't like the way that you do this or do that. And what it is it's not about God. It's about us and what we want and what we find comfortable instead of serving the kingdom of God. When we begin to serve the kingdom of God, spiritual forces are at work. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places." When you choose to serve the kingdom of God, forces are going to come against you. You ever have one of the most spiritual weeks of your life, and all of a sudden it feels like it is the hardest week to serve God? That seems like everything is coming against you. Every temptation that you've never had for the last 10 years is all of a sudden coming at you. And you're like, why? Because the devil does not want us serving the kingdom of God. He wants us to get offended. He wants us to get bitter. He wants us to get angry. He wants us to find fault. Not serve the kingdom of God and begin to let things roll off our shoulders. Not serve the kingdom of God and have joy and peace and thankfulness in our life. He wants to attack us. Could you imagine being Daniel? And here he is. All he's ever done is tried to serve God. And these knuckleheads are trying to get him killed. You imagine being Daniel after you hear this and you're like, whoa, what have I ever done? All I've been is honest and responsible and kind. All I've ever done is do the right thing. But for some reason, he realizes I'm fighting a spiritual war. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "But when Daniel learned that the law had been signed, he went home and knelt down as usual in his upstairs room with the windows open towards Jerusalem. He prayed three times a day, just as he has always done, giving thanks to God." This guy has some audacity. Right? How many of you would have prayed, sure, but you would have done it in the closet, right? You would have done it in a room like with the door locked, and if someone knocked on your door, like, "Hey, what are you doing? Nothing." You know, it's cool. It's cool, man. No, but Daniel goes upstairs. He's like, whatever. Blows open the window. Dear God, you know, this guy's crazy. He's cool. I love it. He's a hero to me. Because he knows, he's got to know, he's not dumb, he's one of the wisest people in the entire kingdom. Think about this. He was not oblivious to what these people were trying to do. He was completely aware, and yet he still goes, "Hey God, I'm putting you first. I am going to serve you just like I've always served you." What audacity. What amazing understanding of the kingdom of God. So this morning I want to ask you a question. We can ponder this. We're going to talk about this the rest of the day. Who is sitting on your throne? What kingdom are you serving? Let's talk about the idea of the kingdom of God real quick. If we understand this, if we can wrap our minds around this, and this is hard for us to understand, but the kingdom of God, we know it's a spiritual kingdom. It's a very real kingdom, and we're going to physically be there someday. But as of right now, we know that it comes through the Spirit. And so the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. But in this kingdom, there is a king, right? There's a king. There is a kingdom that has dominion, because any kingdom has dominion, right? It has places where it is conquered. It has places where it has dominion and structure. We know that in this kingdom that there is a culture of the kingdom of God. We know that in the kingdom of God that there are laws and there are rules that have been set up so that you and I can prosper, so that you and I can live the life that the King wants us to live. But here's the problem. Most of us as Christians, myself included, I don't think of it that way. I think of being a Christian as trying to do the right things, amen? I think of being a Christian as trying to serve God, trying to live my life, but if I was honest, the majority of the decisions that I make are just my decisions. The majority of the things that I do them because I think that's what God will want me to do. We try to do the right things. We try to be a good Christian. We try to serve God the best that we can. But if we saw God in the kingdom of God for what it really is, that there is a true King, a mighty King, and everything done in opposition to Him is treason, it would change the way that we think. Think about this. If someone was going to come to America and you're an American citizen and you spied on certain government affairs and then you went to China or Russia and you told them what we were doing, what would that be? That would be treason, right? Because you went against the laws of that land. And in the same way, if God tells you don't do this and yet we do that, what we are doing is committing an act of treason. We are sitting on the throne of our life. This happened with Adam and Eve from the beginning, right? God said, hey, you can run around naked. Sounds great, right? You can eat all the food of all the trees that you see here. You can name animals. You can, like, hang out with a lion. That's pretty cool, man, right? I'm going to call him a lion, right? That's pretty awesome. He gave Adam and Eve complete reign, told them, be fruitful and multiply, people. That's good enough for me, Lord. Like, I'm good, right? Come on, you guys are supposed to laugh a little bit, okay? But yet, they still weren't satisfied. There was one thing that God told them not to do, and because He gave us free will, they looked at it, and they're like, that looks pretty good. All it took was a serpent. That's all. And you can't tell me that that serpent was such a good arguer, such a good representation to Eve that she's like, wow, everything I've ever thought in my life all of a sudden has changed and I want to eat this fruit. I guarantee you she had been thinking about it. Right? All it took him was saying, is that what God really said? He tell you that you would die? No, but God knows that when you eat this fruit, you will be like Him. And we know the next thing she did is she took it and she ate it. Why? Because she wanted to be on the throne. Every decision that you and I make decides who is going to sit on our throne. See, Adam and Eve messed this up. Satan messed this up. In the beginning, we know that he was an angel of light, right? He was one of the top tier angels in the kingdom of heaven. And what does this say in Isaiah? It talks about the fact that Satan, Lucifer, he wanted to assume the throne, right? He wanted everyone to look at him and see how beautiful he was and how great he was and how awesome he was. And he thought, I'm going to defeat God. What a foolish thought. We would look at that and go, how, you know God, why would you do it? But yet he still tried to go against the authority of the king. He tried to sit on his throne and for that was cast out. Adam and Eve, and forever after that, mankind. When we're born, we take authority of our throne. We scream, we cry, we kick, we yell. We say, I want. No, right? Judah right now, I swear, I want to spank him every 5 seconds. Judah, come here. No. Nah. It's like not even like, no, daddy. It's not, nah, right? It's like, come on. We have learned really well how to sit here on the throne of our life. We have learned really well how to live in the kingdom of darkness, serving ourselves. Because remember, there's no serving the kingdom of God, ourselves, or kingdom of darkness. It's kingdom of darkness. Because here's the deal. What was the sin from the beginning? The sin from the beginning was that we wanted to make ourselves God. that we went in direct opposition to the king. And every day of our life, you and I, depending on the decisions we make, decide whose throne this is, who's sitting on this throne. The way that we parent, the way that we treat our spouse, our thought life, the way that we spend our money, the things that we do, the hobbies that we have, the time, the talents, the treasures, all of that will dictate who is sitting on this throne. If I spend it the way I want to, then I'm sitting on this throne. Daniel realized this and he goes, you know what? I could sit on my throne and I could just do what these guys want me to do. But instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let God sit on my throne. See, all of us in our life, we decide who's sitting there. In fact, before Jesus came into this world, the best that they could do was to try and serve the king. Daniel did a really good job, but he didn't have what we get today. See, here's the cool thing. In that day, he may have served the kingdom of God, but the kingdom of God now gets to be in us and work through us. And Jesus allowed this. In John 1:29, it says this, that the next day John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You and I have an issue that's constantly plaguing us, and that's that sin of setting ourselves in that chair instead of letting God sit in that chair. In fact, Jesus over and over always says this when he's talking to people. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is what? Is near," or "is here." That was before he died. So think about this. If people could understand the kingdom of God then, before Jesus died, that the kingdom of God is not so much serving an ideal, but it's serving a person. Jesus. Right? The kingdom of God is here, as Jesus is saying. He's saying, "I'm here." And as we begin to understand that it is through Jesus that we have access to this kingdom, we have access to allow him to sit on our thrones, we have access now to eternity because of him, then everything we do in our life should be about letting him take control of our throne. Let's talk about the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus explains it a couple different ways, and this is just two things that he says of tons that he talks about. Matthew 6:33 says this, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." What are you saying, Jesus? He's saying, if we will think and consume our minds about the kingdom of God and letting God set up shop on our throne, then everything will be added unto us. Because from the beginning, the sin that we all deal with, every sin trickles from one sin, and that is that we want to be on that throne. Every sin. We can all say, "Well, this is sin, and this is sin, and this is sin, and this is sin." Yeah, those are all sins. But the sin is that we want to sit on that throne. That we want to make ourselves God. Matthew 7:21 says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Too many Christians, myself, many times, we treat the kingdom of God instead as the emotions of God, right? Oh God, I'm going to serve you when I feel like it. Oh God, I'm going to sing this song because, hey, I remember this from my childhood, and this song really gets me. Oh, I don't know that song. I'm just going to stand here. Oh, I got the goosebumps. God must really be moving right now. Oh, I don't feel this. I'm not feeling this right now, so, we're just going to stand here. Too many of us treat the kingdom of God instead as the emotions of God. I'm going to serve God when I feel like it. I'm going to do the things that God wants me to do when I think that that's the right thing to do. But instead, what we need to understand is we are in treason to a king. We are in direct opposition of the King of heaven and earth. And we're saying, God, I know you're big, I know you're awesome, but move over, because I need to sit down. Can you imagine if we could see God, what that would change in us? That every time we make a decision that we want to make or do something that we want to do, we imagine God in his throne room, like Isaiah says, and the trail of his robe fills the temple, him and his majesty, and we're sitting there tapping on his knee saying, can you move? Can you move for a second? I know you've defeated death, hell, and the grave. I know that you know the beginning to the end. I know that you are omniscient, omnipotent, omnipowerful. You are everything. But I think I got this one. Could you imagine? Well, that's what we do. And I do this too. I'm not trying to give us all a hard time, but I'm just getting us to think about this. When we make a decision that I'm going to look at that I'm going to think about that, and I'm going to dwell on that, I'm going to spend my money the way I want, I'm going to do things that please me, we're tapping on his shoulder and saying, hey, God, could you move? I know what your word says. I know that you're my king and yada, 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 but I really want this. And this is something we deal with every day of our lives, guys. This is not just something that, oh, it's an epiphany, and for now, ever, I'm going to be perfect. No, that's not what I'm saying. I deal with this every single day. It's a choice that we make every day that we wake up and we say, God, you know what? Today, I'm going to choose to serve you. I am going to make decisions based on the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of America. I'm going to make decisions based on the kingdom of God instead of the kingdom of Austin. I'm going to make decisions because, God, you're in control of my life. Because you're my king. I want to ask another question. Do we allow God to sit here because of what he gives us or because of who he is? That makes it a little harder. It takes it a little deeper. A lot of us, myself, I love serving God because I know I have peace and joy. I know that he gives me a lot of wonderful things. Sometimes I enjoy serving him because of the benefits more than I even enjoy serving him because of who he is. He is a king who created us, who sent his son to die for us. He's done so many wonderful things, but could we turn that off for a moment and just recognize him as our king and be okay with that? Would you serve God if none of the benefits came from it? It's a hard question. It's hard for me to answer that, to be honest with you. Because so many times my prayer is this, oh God, thank you that you have given me peace, and thank you that you've given me joy, and we should pray like that, that's okay. But so many times we have wrapped our prayer life around the fact of what he's given us instead of saying, oh God, you are my king, and I'm going to worship you for who you are. Because you are greater than everything, because you're more awesome than anything, because of who you are, my king. See, Daniel got that. The reason he was willing to open those shutters and pray the way he prayed was because he knew it doesn't matter who's set up shop in Babylon. I'm going to serve the true king because he's my king. Even if I was going to be sent to the lions, even if I was going to be thrown into a flaming furnace, you know what? God's got this. And even if he doesn't, I believe Daniel was okay with that. We know Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were okay with that. They said, hey, even if he doesn't, we're never going to serve your gods. We're never going to serve you as our God. But we're going to treat God like he is our king. And we're just going to sit here. And in every decision that I make, everything that I do, say, yes, God. Yes, Lord. What is it that you want me to do? If you look the same today in your spiritual walk with God as you did a year ago, I guarantee you God's not sitting on that throne. If we look different a week ago, or if we don't look different today than a week ago, I can tell you someone else than God is sitting on that throne. Because when God is sitting on the throne, everything that you do is questioned. Everything you do comes through the lens of the kingdom of God, the culture of the kingdom of God. Can I tell you this? My wife and I like to watch TV. We love watching TV. And that's kind of what we do. You know, for an hour at the end of the night, kids are in bed, we're exhausted, and we'll throw on the television usually from like 8:15 to 9 o'clock, and we'll watch a show. We've been watching this show, and if I tell you what show, you're probably going to judge me, but that's okay. We've been watching a show, and constantly in the back of my head, maybe you've dealt with this, I hope you've dealt with this, because we all deal with this, I'm like, I shouldn't watch this. You ever been there? Man, I shouldn't watch this. And last night I went to Brittany, I'm like, babe, I can't watch it. You can watch it if you want. I'm not going to judge you. You could do whatever you feel is okay, but for me, I just can't watch this show. And I told her, I said, babe, in the last television show, we watched a girl with a bare butt. We watched a guy beat another person to death. We watched, and guys, I know that sounds crazy, but that's pretty much most shows, right? Like, I'm going through the list. There's like five things. I'm like, look, I shouldn't watch this. I don't need to watch this. And it's why? Because the kingdom of God is speaking to me. And it's saying, hey, if you really want to live the best life that you could ever live, there's going to be some things, some cultural things that my kingdom that I've set up is going to be addressed, right? And every once in a while, we have to make a decision, probably daily, to say, okay, God, I'm going to let you have this. I'm going to let you take this. How many of you know that sometimes we allow the culture of earth, the kingdom of earth, dictate the kingdom of God instead of allowing the kingdom of God to dictate what we're going to do here on earth, right? I'm not saying you have to turn off all your television programs. I'm saying that's up to you and God. That's up to you. And in every moment of every day, saying, God, what is it that you really want of me? How do you want me to spend my time? How do you want me to spend my money, my skills, my talents? Lord, have I just gotten used to doing everything the way I want to do them, or am I serving the kingdom of God? Is the way that I'm treating my spouse saying, God, how do you want me to treat my spouse? The spouse that you've given me, the spouse that you have just blessed me with, or am I going to say, you know what? No, she needs to do things my way. She needs to treat me the way I want her to treat me. She needs to do things I want her to do. Oh God, I pray for my kids. God, help me to be the best father that I could be. You know what, God? My kids need to behave, and I'm going to make them behave. You know what, God? I'm going to do the things that I think are right when it comes to parenting my kids, that Facebook tells me that I should do when parenting my kids. Not what the Word of God says. Not to teach my children your biblical ways and show them that church is important and that giving is important and that serving you, God, is important. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show them that I'm important and that television's important and that Facebook and Instagram is important. Not you, God. When it comes to how we live life, who's sitting on our chair? It's getting quiet. I know it's hard, guys. Even as I was doing this sermon, I can't tell you the amount of things that God spoke to me on. He said, okay, you're going to teach about me being king. Are you ready? Because I realized, guys, that the culture that we have here on earth is so different than the kingdom of heaven. God says, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the humble. You go through every one of those, that Sermon on the Mount, and look at all the Beatitudes, and what Jesus is telling you is kingdom culture. He's saying, hey, you want the kingdom of God? Seek first. Or you want everything in this world? Seek first the kingdom of God. What is he saying? He's saying, let God be on that throne. Let him sit on that throne. Stop trying to sit on it yourself. So we know what happens. We know Daniel is found out. It's not hard to find him. He's sitting there, his window open, praying. And they go to the king and they say, hey, King Darius, you know you signed this, right? And Darius, he doesn't like this. And if Darius's wife was anything like my wife, like that would have been a funny moment because she would have been like, I told you you were going to sign that and it was going to backfire. You're trying to make yourself king and god of the land. And here you are. And now you're getting your best man thrown into the lions, you ding dong, right? Like, that's like, I only imagine that conversation in my mind, right? If I would have just not done that, that was so dumb. Why did I try to make myself king? Why did I try to make myself God? Why did I do that? And so Darius is trying to find a way to get Daniel out of all this, but he can't. They come to him and they say, hey, king, remember, you can't change this law. And so they send Daniel to the lions. And everybody here knows what happened next. Daniel goes in the lions. The angels shut the mouths of the lions. Darius goes to Daniel in the morning and says, has your God saved you? And Daniel says, yeah, he did. And he comes out. He's fine. They take the other guys that set all this against him. They like throw him in the lion's den. It says the lions devoured them before they even hit the ground. And we read all this story and we go, wow, this is great. This is amazing. All this is so cool. But the reason it happened, the reason that the things in the Old Testament and the New Testament happen the way they do, the amazing stories, the wonderful things that we see, is all because every person knew what king they were serving. They knew what culture they were representing. They were living a kingdom culture life. I heard a pastor tell me that a few weeks ago, he said, don't preach a sermon, be a sermon. Don't tell people what they need to do. Instead, live it in such a way that people go, wow, he is different. The way he lives is different. The way he treats his spouse is different. The way he treats his kids is different. The way he spends his money, the way he spends his time, the way that he thinks, the way that he does everything is different than the world around us. Because God is sitting on his throne. And I'm going to be honest with you, I fail most days at that. I really do. I fail, man. I think a lot of times I'm a half-cheeker Christian. You know? Like, have you ever been there, right? Like, God's sitting there, but every once in a while I'm like, okay. Yeah, I need to make this decision, Lord. Just one sec. Okay, you can come back. You know? And this happens, right? Because we go to church, we think we're doing the right things, we think we're saying the right things, we're trying to live the best life, but then we make excuses. Oh, I've always had a mouth. Oh, I've always talked to my spouse, and I always talk to each other that way. Oh, I know I need to stop looking at that or watching that, but you know. And we're half-cheeker Christians. And this is really uncomfortable. It's really uncomfortable to live that life. Because on the outside, it's all going to look really good. But inside, you're going to be fighting a war over who is God of your life. And it's really uncomfortable. And you and I have a decision to make this morning. Who is going to be sitting on our throne? Is God going to be our everything in every decision? Or is he not? Every decision made in opposition to him is treason. He's a king. He has a kingdom. It has a culture. It has laws. And everything that we do should line up with that kingdom. Because he's the king. And here's the cool thing about God. He does give us so many opportunities and reasons to serve him. He gives us peace and joy in the midst of the worst possible situations you will ever go through. He gave you his son to die on a cross so that you could go to heaven, So not only that you could bring, go to the kingdom of God, but instead that you could bring the kingdom of God to earth. Because he's in here. You and I, if we are serving the king, we are naturally going to bring kingdom culture into the room that we're in, into our families, into our friends, into our co-workers' lives, because you know what king you're serving. See, at the end of all this, Darius looks at this situation and he says, I decree that everyone throughout my kingdom should tremble with fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and he will endure forever. Is that the kind of king that is sitting on your throne? His kingdom will never be destroyed, and his rule will never end. He rescues and saves his people. He performs miraculous signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. It says, so Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel prospered because he knew what king was sitting on his throne. My hope for this church is that you will prosper. And that's why I felt like we needed to hear this message. Because we could all come in here and say, hey guys, we need to be good Christians. We need to do the right things. But remember what Jesus says? He says, seek first the kingdom of God. And then everything else will be added to you. If we don't get that right, we are going to be miserable, half-cheek Christians that are constantly trying to figure life out. But if we are serving the king and he's on our throne, we'll have it figured out. Because we have the Holy Spirit that's in us, that's living in us, that we can constantly say, hey God, is this the right way to handle this? He'll talk to you and tell you. Hey God, should I treat my spouse like this? Should I treat my kids like this? How should I do things when it comes to my money? How should I do it when it comes to this or that? And God speaks to us. Because the Holy Spirit says lives in us. He wants to speak to us. He wants to teach us. He wants to make us like him. The disciples got this right. They didn't even have the New Testament. Why'd they get it right? Because they knew who was sitting on their throne. They let the Holy Spirit speak to them and teach them and train them on how to bring kingdom culture into this world. You and I get the opportunity to do that this morning. And this isn't an altar call kind of sermon, but this is a mindset change kind of sermon. This is something that you begin to ponder and chew on through this week. And you say, God, are you sitting on my throne or am I? God, am I being a half-cheek Christian or am I kneeling before your throne in awe of you? So let's pray. And you can pray on your own. Talk to God on your own. And let's decide who we want to make king of our throne. Lord, I love you. God, you are good, and you love us, and you care about us. And God, we worship you because of who you are. You are our King. And I pray, God, that as we set you up on the throne of our lives, that kingdom culture would come through us to change this world. I pray for our families and our friends, people that or at our work, God, they don't even know what's about to happen because of the culture of God that we are about to bring into our workplaces, into our homes. They can't even understand the gravity and the magnitude of what you're about to do through the people of Grace Chapel when we begin to understand the kingdom culture. Thank you, Lord. God, I pray that you would be sitting on my throne in every area of my life, God. It's scary to do that. It's very difficult because I'm so selfish and I want to do it the way I want to do it. But God, speak to me. Help me. Help everyone in here. God, I know that you're speaking to them right now about certain things that they know they're sitting on that throne over. And God, I pray that we would give it to you. Whether that's our hobbies, the way we treat others, the way that we look at you, the way that we talk to people, whatever it is, God, I pray that we would look at it through your eyes, that you would be the king of our lives. We love you, Jesus. We love you. You're so good. In your name, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. I love you guys. We'll see you all next week. Again, if you're going to go to the Astros game, let me know. But go and live kingdom culture. Amen? Amen. Love y'all.